Well, good morning, church. Right? Every follower of Jesus is a part of the church, and yet we're growing to be the church because it doesn't come naturally, it comes supernaturally, doesn't it? We grow up into our salvation. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And we grow to become who He's called us to be and what He's called us to do. So it's a journey to move towards becoming who we're called to, created to be, and what we're called to be created to do. And remember our last series, the things that help us grow. I mean, this plant is still looking pretty good. It only gets a cup of water a week, so it's not even hardly anything. And this one I've given a cup of water. There's some seriously dried branches. These ones are droopy like crazy. But it's weird. Some of us try and live our spiritual life like this. Hey, I can live on a half a cup of water every month rather than every week. And it's crazy. And we expect that we're going to make a big impact for God. We're going to be His hands and feet in our relationships and in our community. We just watched a movie last night as a family. We watched Second Greatest. It's on PureFlix. It's based on true story of what went on in Golden, Colorado. And I won't tell you all what went on in the movie, but basically there's a new pastor there as well as some other people, key people within the community that desired real change to happen in their community and in people's lives. And God brought that together, those concerned people that desired something bigger than themselves to happen. Brought them together and it grew and it blossomed to the point where transformation was happening. Amen? Changes by the power of God. Not just what we contain and we can control, but something bigger. And that local church in that city had a huge impact. I pray that for Coldale MB. That we would have a huge impact, an impact that's way bigger than us. Will you join me in praying for that this coming year? That we would have a bigger impact than we can imagine. As we walk through this series, we'll look at Luke 24 here this morning. Another piece of it. I said last week we looked at several verses. And as we engage with people, we first need to listen to understand. To fully understand where they are coming from. Help them fully understand their own journey and where they're at. And we listen. We listen first. We love by listening. But we also speak truth. We also love by broadening the perspective. This is what Jesus does in this passage. He broadens their perspective. He reminds them God is up to something bigger than what you can see right now. And you can't do it alone. He's broadening their perspective. This is some of why we have this survey in our bulletins today. Our partners, because this is bigger than Coldale. What God has called us to do as a church, it's bigger than Coldale MB can take on. We work with our partner ministries. And I'm hoping every family will take this seriously, take it home, prayerfully consider this, think this through. How are we involved in our partner ministries? Because we want to, went through the pastoral evaluation last fall. Us with the leadership of the church came up with 5 goals. One of them, we want to clarify our partners and really grow those partnerships so that they are exactly that, influencing change for the Lord in our community. So there's a couple ways you can fill this out. You can actually put check marks underneath these things, right? I have no connection with whatever this organization or missionaries are. It's on the backside as well. There's no connection. My only connection is through either the bulletin or Sunday services whenever they happen to come up as a missionary of the week or whatever. That's my basically connection. That's fine. Do I pray regularly? Do I have extra contact or volunteer in some way with these organizations or these people? Do I financially support them? So you can check off the individual boxes. That's fine. Or you can think about this as little involvement to more involvement and put it on a kind of a scale of 1 to 5, if that's an easier way to think about it. And just put a dot or whatever somewhere, and we'll know that, okay, thinking more scale. Because, you know, you might pray for them, you might financially support them. And anyways, don't get caught up on the categories, but some way communicate, this is a passion of mine, I'm actively engaged in this, or I'm not. Because we want to not only clarify our partners, but really grow these, make real partnerships, so that just like those relationships in the movie, as they encouraged and they started working together more and more, God did bigger and bigger. We want to really make sure that we're working actively with our partners. And so it has different categories. Some of them are because we are MB Church. That's our identity. Or an affiliation. That's Alberta Conference, Canadian Conference, and ICOM, International Community of Mennonite Brethren. That's just because we exist in this denomination. We also belong to, these are memberships, the 4Cs, Canadian Council of Christian Charities. That's mostly our finance team that access resources through them, our ministry list. So some of these might not even make that much sense to you. Then we have our list of missionaries. And they do. They come up in the bulletin regularly. And our organizations, international organizations, that just seem to, as our mission team met, these seem to be the ones we're already engaged with, but we want to hear that and clarify those. And then there's organizations or programs that are local that we're, so just what's a picture of what is? We're not presenting, hey, let's make some big changes, but what is, who do we have partnerships with, and how can we ramp those up? How can we be more intentional about those partners? And then our Christian camps and Christian schools, you can circle one of those if you're more connected to one of those than others. But also really think about these. What issue comes up in the news and you go, wow, I wish I had a way of engaging that. You know, we hear from 80% of the congregation that this issue is something real critical, then I think we need to listen to that. We need to discern our congregation, not dictate who our partners are, but discern who our partners are and what makes sense. And there's social justice issues, there's government issues, there's all sorts of things. And then some additional comments or other ministries that you're connected with, right? We're all connected with lots of ministries, as individuals, as families. Not all of them are going to become. We can't partner with that many. And nor is it wise that we do. So our families might be connected with them. But again, if there's a whole bunch of us that are connected with different ministries, we want to know that and really grow those ministries. I've mentioned doing street ministry downtown Toronto lots of times. And when we were partnered there, we were partnered with a local church that was downtown. We were in the north end of Toronto. Whole group of us from the college would come down different years, somewhere between 12 and 18 of us on the team doing street ministry. But we needed the local church. And we could do things through that local church and in partnership with that local church we couldn't do on our own. Our partners need us, and we need our partners. And our partners help us have a broader perspective as well. They actually help us do what Jesus does for his followers in this passage that we're going to look at. Because Jesus is risen. Amen? And this changes everything. Everything that goes on. Right? This is the hope that we have. This is the hope for the nations. And unless we're teaching this, unless we're proclaiming this, unless we're living this out, then who knows that? Then who knows that Jesus is the only way to salvation? In fact, it changes every conversation if we're really attentive. I showed these next couple slides last week. I want to show them again. But having one ear attuned, attentive to the Holy Spirit, what is God saying? What is God desiring for this person that I'm engaged with right now? This situation, how does he speak to this situation? What's his perspective of this? How does His kingdom come, His will be done in this moment, in this issue, in this family's life, in whatever? Are we asking that question and listening to the Holy Spirit, seeking to gain His perspective in this? And with the other ear, like I said, listening to understand what is really being said by this person. Hear their thoughts, yes. Understand their thoughts, really, from their perspective. Their emotions and the impact that it's having on that person. It's key, really understanding. And putting both of these together with whatever issues we take on, whatever conversations we're in, both of these together. What's God's will for this person? What's He already up to in their lives? And how do I speak truth to exactly where they're at? Not speak this truth, because it's going to be irrelevant to where they're at right now. We need to know where they're at. We need to know what God's doing. And listen and respond to with both of those. So as we get to our passage here this morning, right? Jesus has come, been born. We celebrate it at Christmas. He lives a perfect and sinless life. We went through this a few weeks ago. The gospel. The truth is, He created everything that exists. Every star, every planet, every person, every tree. He's created it. But it's been distorted. It's broken. Right? Corruption happened. Genesis 3. We rebelled against God, and all of us have sought to go our own way. We have a sinful nature, as well as we commit sins out of that. And He lives this sinless life, helping people, healing people, teaching with truth and authority, comes full of grace and truth, not one or the other, full of grace and truth. People are astounded, huge groups of followers. And then He's falsely accused, taken before the leaders, condemned to die, crucified on a cross that we celebrate on Good Friday. Weird, we celebrate someone's death. But we celebrate what His death accomplished, right? Without that, there is no forgiveness of sins. And then He rises 3 days later, and His disciples in the passage that we dealt with last week said the women had run to the tomb and found it empty, and they're confused, and they shared it with their disciples. And now a couple of the followers of Jesus are walking along the road to Emmaus, and Jesus comes and He listens. He listens through remaining silent. He listens through asking questions. He just hears. He understands where they're currently at and how they tell their story and how they're confused and feeling all sorts of other things. What's going on? And then it comes to these few verses, verses 25 to 27 in Luke 24. And He said to them, now He's responding. Now He's broadening their perspective, as what today's message is called. He said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe that the prophets, that the prophets have spoken. He chastises them. He challenges them. He goes, you're so focused on this little piece here, and you're missing the big picture. How are you missing that big picture? It's okay to point out where people are believing something false. They're believing a lie. In fact, we need to point that out. So He challenges them. Verse 26. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted them in all the scriptures, the things concerning Himself. Wouldn't you love to have been part of that conversation? I said last week, the first part of this conversation, that was just a summary that went on for more verses than this, but it was just a summary of what had happened in that dialogue, the communication between Jesus and His disciples. And remember, they haven't recognized that it's Jesus yet at this point, if you remember from last week. But He walks through the whole of the scriptures and He says, this is what it speaks about Me, about the Christ. And it doesn't know it's Him yet. But he walks through the whole of Scripture. It's all one big story. Yes, it's got all sorts of different perspectives and angles and specifics to it, but it's one big story. And he broadens their perspective. You're confused about the last few days because you're not putting it in the perspective of all of history and my intentions throughout history. Listen to this quote. Broadening your perspective can be life enhancing. And we need that, and the people around us need that. They need to have a God-sized perspective, and Jesus brings it for his followers here. In cross-cultural work, in the limited amount that Beverly and I traveled around, we did training with teams, but cross-cultural work, we view life, relationships, all sort of things differently. And one thing I've come to see is that in North America, to a huge degree, we don't interrupt someone when they're really busy at work, when they're doing an activity. Don't interrupt them when they're busy doing the hands-on type of work. But actually, it's easier to come back to a hands-on job than, if we look at the next slide, in some Asian cultures, it's don't interrupt when the person is thoughtful and reflective. It's much harder to get back into that space. And some of that is the more important work, the contemplation, the deeper work of how and why and what is actually important. Broadening a perspective can help someone ask the bigger questions of life. And we need to help them take that contemplation time. We don't solve it immediately for them, but we're willing to journey with them. So when we're broadening their perspective, sometimes it's not giving a whole bunch of answers. It's often asking questions and helping them ponder on that. What do you think about this? Jesus exhorts here. An exhortation means a few things, but it is an encouragement. Way of encouraging and strengthening people through words of comfort, inspiration, reassurance, and even that correction or challenge that Jesus starts with is part of it. Further, there's a gift of exhortation that is given to some. This gift helps others reach their full potential by means of encouraging, challenging, comforting, and guiding. So even a challenge, if we're heading in a wrong direction, believing a lie, a challenge to, hey, have you thought about this? A redirection and a challenge to the way we're going. Hey, is that a healthy decision for your life? Right? We challenge people. It's good to challenge them, but it does it in a way that redirects them, right? I'm just walking with somebody now, nobody here, so I can share part of this. But they're in a transition phase, and they need some input, a challenge. Hey, are you even in the right career? Does how you naturally live for God and serve Him and who He's created you to be, are you in the right career? That's a hard challenge to put to somebody. But I don't do it, and I would recommend we don't do it with people either. Just don't say, here's the direction you shouldn't go, without giving them a direction they should go. Here's the things I see in your life. Here's how I see God living with you. I wonder what career that might lead to. Maybe this, maybe that, right? And help them think. So it points them in a new direction. That's exhortation. Yes, there is a challenge. Hey, you're believing something wrong here, or something insufficient, and thinking too small, like where Jesus says in this passage, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You're fixated on your individual circumstances right now, and you're forgetting the whole big picture. So he corrects them. He says, don't just focus on this. And then he unpacks, and he points out how this all fits together. And we need to help people do that. And we need to let people do that for us as well. This isn't just for Jesus to do. He's not the only exhorter, right? We've already talked about the gift. In Luke 3, it speaks of John the Baptist. With many other exhortations, he preached the good news to the people. I want to read the couple verses that come before that. This is in Luke chapter 3. John the Baptist, when he prepares the way for Jesus' message and for Jesus, the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. Right? He comes out of the wilderness, he starts teaching, or he doesn't come out of the wilderness, people are coming to see him. And they're going, I wonder if this is the Christ. John answered them all. And he answers this way, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Right? He's alluding, there's going to be a judgment. Those who live for Jesus will go on to live with him forever. Those who go their own way will be burned up with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. He says, don't go this direction, do go this direction. Don't go your own way, do take hold of Jesus and follow him as a real disciple. And he exhorts people. And we're called to exhort people. But again, we've listened long enough to them and to the Holy Spirit to understand what's applicable in their life right now. What's the questions on their heart? Are they asking big enough questions or just surface questions? We can be involved in broadening their perspective like Jesus does. And we're called to do this. And it does move people from a comfort zone often towards a challenge. The church exists to challenge, to broaden perspective. Help us see that we're going a wrong direction and others see where we're going a wrong direction and move towards Christ and his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What are you doing, Lord? And how can I be a part of it? Right? We all need that kind of challenge, because we just get caught up in our own comfort zones. Well, I want this. This isn't working out my way. Right? We need those trusted people around us to go, dude, do you have God's perspective here? Right? Especially during times of suffering or confusion or whatever else. Listen to the quote by J.C. Ryle, and it'll come up on the screen as well. If Christ by his providence has placed us in it, let us not be in a hurry to leave it. Let us stay there with God. The great thing is to have no will of our own and to be where Jesus would have us be. Some of this listening to understand and broadening of someone's perspective will be uncomfortable. Sometimes it's uncomfortable when someone does it for us. But they love us enough to do it. They go on a journey together. And it brings more cloud and more confusion at times. But we abide there. We remain there. And let God lead us. Because he's got bigger things. He's got better things. And we need the broader perspective. We need his perspective. And again, we all need our perspectives broadened. Don't we? Regularly. We get caught into our own little world and we need to see the world as God sees it. And we need to do this for others. To really seek first his kingdom and really be praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. Right in the moment, in the big questions of life, right in the individual conversation, not shrinking back into I want, we want, whatever, that narrow little perspective. Even though you may not always understand how, know that your situation is not a surprise to God. He will work out every detail? Are we looking for Him? Do we, on behalf of other people, right? We're doing street ministry in downtown Toronto. Think of the myriad of challenges someone living on the streets of Toronto, and how this young punk college, Bible college kid could actually help them in any big way and make real change in their life. Well, they're insurmountable. But God can work out those details. And we partnered with that church, and we partnered with others, and God brought about change. God is bigger. He can work out the details. Are we willing to engage with the people around us and bring God's perspective, or just share our own perspective? Right? I'm not encouraging us to step into people's lives, listen a little bit, and then solve things from our perspective, right? There's plenty of people that tell us how to live our lives, right? That's not what this is. This is discerning together, or discerning if it's an unbeliever. We're discerning on their behalf what God desires for them, and leading them, walking with them, asking them questions, helping them gain God's perspective, not just our perspective, or also clarifying their own, but leading them towards God's view, because God's view is so much bigger, right? Throughout time and history, the past and the future, that's all together, and He can see all that at once. We're just focused on the present, aren't we? And sometimes we can just quibble over words or some secondary issue, get caught up in some small, needless conversation or argument or whatever else, and miss what's most important, but what God's doing in their lives. I want to keep asking this for our sons, right? We can battle as parents with an individual action or word or whatever else, or we can ask, where's God leading them, and how do I get on that page and working with God? God is working in your life. Do you believe that? I mean, really believe it, that God is working in your life. He's leading, He's guiding towards His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And God is working beyond your life. If we're a follower of Jesus, we sometimes think, well, yeah, He's not really making any difference but through me. But He is. And we can more intentionally partner with Him by listening to understand and by broadening perspective. Being open that our perspective is broadened, and the people around us, that we can be a part of broadening their perspectives, bringing a God focus, a kingdom focus to others, that God is working beyond your life as well. Bigger than, more than. It's for you and for me. It's for us together collectively. That we can love people by broadening their perspective and growing to be the church. But are we willing to get into that mix, that mess, even when there's lack of clarity, and just journey and ask a question and leave it hanging in the air? And then, hey, can we get together next week, right? It happens in individual relationships. Like I say, hopefully with our partners, we can get better at doing this, working together. What's God calling us to do? What's our major contribution to the town of Coaldale, to southern Alberta, and through our partners, to the world? Our major contribution, like we say, we can't partner with everything going on. It's good stuff. We need to narrow it down. Let's partner as high as we can. As individuals, as families, we have different opportunities. And we need God's perspective. We desperately need it. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, there's times in life where we simply don't believe, not really, that You are active. You are working in our lives. Some of us need to back it right up to the original gospel, because we either don't believe, haven't believed that yet, or are not currently applying it to our lives. We need to know how passionately You love us. You love us right now. Not when we're perfected. You love us right now, right where we're at. and people around us need to have that perspective. The truth of your word. They are loved. That's quite possibly the only message they need right now. To challenge the belief about themselves, well, they're not worth very much. We can hear it in their emotions if we're listening. We can hear it in their thoughts. We can hear it in their self-talk. And we can challenge. We can exhort like Jesus does. He goes, this is a lie. Don't base your life on a lie. Reality is, God loves you. And I love you enough to walk with you and to point this out. Others don't see how destructive a certain sin is. Or they don't have any hope in it. And we have the hope of Christ, the same hope and power that raised Jesus from the dead, is available to us today. And they don't know that. And we can proclaim that. We can help them have hope for another day, for another conversation, for another action, another choice. We have the promise of eternal life, God, and people don't know that. They're living out of fear of the future. And we can say, hey, I used to fear the future, and now I don't. And here's why. And we can proclaim the truth. We can broaden their perspective so that they can follow you and walk into your good, pleasing, and perfect will. God, would you open our eyes? Help us be teachable that our perspective would be broadened. You are active in our lives and you want to work through our lives. And you call us, you commission us, you command us, go and make disciples. Go and broaden other people's perspectives. For your glory, for the good of your kingdom, and out of love for those we're in relationship with, God. Give us courage in doing this. Amen.